Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Wednesday, 11 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Alex Dace. I want to touch on Kaap Agri results, but after a green day on the markets yesterday, there haven't been many of those. I mean, is he out there buying or is he still sort of hoarding the cash? Octodec results, we're chatting with MD Jeffrey Wapnick. And then we're talking in investments and the fuel price. How does it impact our investments as petrol moves to record levels? Are there some opportunities perhaps here? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Pepkor takes aim at Mr. Price with new growth format. Pep Home is the new big thing, already capturing the minds of shoppers. And I've got to say, I have been into one, but I've heard a bunch of people talking about it, and they really, really like it. Business day, Steinhoff has to hand over forensic report. Court orders the full 7,000-word forensic report must go to Financial Mail and Emma Bongani within 10 days. We got about a couple of page summary, but Steinhoff never wanted us to see the full report. It is going to make for some fascinating reading. Morning markets, lots of green. US, we saw the S&P up 0.25%, Nasdaq 1.3% to the green. Asia's mixed, Sydney off a couple of points while Tokyo trades up a third. Commodities mixed overnight, gold 1,836. Brent $104.32 a barrel. Platinum $953. Palladium $2,073 an ounce. Rand 1609. Top 40 opening call about 200 points to the green. That's a third of a percent higher. That is Tencent trades up 4.4% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Alex Dace, our portfolio manager in Thombo Wealth. Alex, appreciate the early morning time. Kaap Agri results came out yesterday. Not a bad set of numbers. I'm not sure you're taking it. I worry that they've sort of been on the rise with the farming boom, but that might be easing as input pricing starts to hurt.
Morning, Simon. Yes, if you look at the results for Kaap Agri, it was obviously very strong revenue growth, but most of that was driven by inflation. And as you say, that inflation also drives input costs, and unfortunately, because of that, you see the GP margins and EBITDA margins slightly under pressure. So earnings growth was not nearly as high as what the revenue number was. So certainly, they are feeling pressure from a cost perspective, and as a result, the underlying clients is going to feel the cost pressure. We all know what's happened to fuel price increases, very material. It does seem like they are have gained some market share in some of the areas they operate in. For example, the fuel company which supplies fuel for their own as well as for other sites. So it seems like despite the dynamics there, they're trying to do what they can as best as they can. But underlying, I think it's very tough. And we know when it comes to agricultural, in a moment the outlook looks okay, but where to check it can change quite quickly. Now, of course, supply chain issues is a problem, getting the products out of the country. So yeah, there's a lot of things factoring there. And I think the other positive is it does seem like SA is going to have its best wheat production in, I think, about 16 or so years. Because we are usually importer of wheat, and we know, of course, what is happening in Russia and Ukraine, which is a critical wheat market. So a lot of things happening here at Kaap Agri. But I think under circumstances, you can say it's perhaps a decent set of results, but certainly you can see pressure and the result, some concern down the line.
Moving to more general market, I mean, we've had some aggressive selling for sort of April and into early May. A green day yesterday, market saying it might open green today. Have you been out looking for bargains? I mean, I just caught my eye at Pepkor under 20. There's suddenly a lot of stocks which I've long liked, and they're at a lot better prices. I mean, is this buying opportunity not necessarily because the selling is over, but because the valuations look good?
Look, I mean, that's the other thing we can really do when there's a sell-off in the market is look for relative opportunities. I mean, unless you got, of course, short stocks and so forth. But other than that, if you're looking for buying opportunities, it's all about relative at the moment. So certainly, yes, some counters will be looking more attractive than others. And as a result, there's opportunities perhaps for you to recycle some of your capital. So we have been picking up some stock in SA. So, for example, something like an MTN has been under a lot of pressure. I think that's perhaps a decent opportunity to top that one up. I mean, Richmond is down about 25% or so year to date. It's not a bad one to look in as well. And you've got some smaller cap stocks like a CMH. We saw the results out last week was very good. Stock looks still very attractive to me. You know, if perhaps you want to go into resources space or something like Tungela, I mean, the dividend yield is still very, very high in the business. And we know coal prices is it's holding relatively stable. So the business looks, for me, quite attractive. So there's always opportunities. I think you just need to be looking out for it. And you have to have some patience because it's likely that share prices can come in further down. I mean, but that's no guarantee. And as a result, that's why you need to perhaps buy in tranches while valuations are looking relatively attractive.
I take your point on that, sort of buying on the way down and appreciate that we're not going to get the bottom. It might go still further and we're going to wish it hadn't. But truthfully, we'll look back in a year or three and love the prices we got at this point in the market.
Yes. So, I mean, if you look at this U.S. markets quickly, the S&P is down about 16% here today, which is one of the worst starts for the S&P in a long, long time. So it's not yet technically a bear market, which is 20%. Mm. However, if you look at historical bear markets in the U.S., its average is 35% down. So they could theoretically be globally, and especially in the U.S., if there's a bear market, still a lot more downside. And that will obviously feed through to our markets as well. I mean, we are a follower in South Africa. So that's something that has to be cognizant of. The Nasdaq, of course, is already in the correction territory, somewhere like 26-27%. So in SA, we're not even close to those levels yet. I think you have to be cognizant of what's happening globally. But best you can do is look for rent opportunities in SA and play it steadily as you go, as you find opportunities.
Yeah, Nasdaq down 24% so far year to date. Been a horror start to US markets. We'll leave that there. That's Alex Dayson from Bull Wealth. And that's our question on our LinkedIn and Twitter today. The markets are volatile. We're well down off the highs of late last year. Is it a buying opportunity? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Jeffrey Wapnick. He is MD of Octodec. Results out for 6 months ending February. Like-for-like rental growth, 1.2%. Distributable income, 79.6 cents. That's up from 74.8. Loan-to-value coming down 41% from 43.2. And all-in weighted average cost of funding, 8.3%. That's down from 8.5%. Jeffrey, appreciate the early morning time this morning. You mentioned in the results that there's still some rental discounts that you've got, the pandemic discounts. How much sort of discounts are you still offering to clients?
It's very difficult for us to give a single figure that gives an indication. But there are those that are saying I think it escalated way beyond what we consider to be market. Mm-hmm. And it's those tenants that we have to accommodate. And also the question with the smaller tenants is the whole question of affordability as opposed to rate per square meter.
I got you. But the key point perhaps is that your bad debts are coming down, and that perhaps is almost a more important number to watch as we get some sort of normality returning.
Yes. It must be remembered with Octodec, we have what they call a low WALE, a weighted average lease expiry. So we consider our rental stream to be at market. There are one or two here or there that still need an adjustment, perhaps. But we don't have a number of large leases still coming expiring within the next year or two, because those are the problem ones.
Yeah, got you on that. Operating expenses up by 5.2%. I imagine that some of that's just going to be good old inflationary costs coming through, but you also mentioned it's administrative costs, and such as assessment rates from city councils.
Yes, that's right. A very difficult one to manage.
Yeah, and not much wiggle room there. I mean, you can, and you certainly do work on some of those costs that you can manage, but of course council rates and the like, administrative costs, you don't really have a lot of influence in that at all.
No, not at all. You do have those remedies that are affordable to you in terms of your rates objections, and we fight those hard, but mm-hmm. that's what it is.
Your residential...
You've got to learn to live with it.
Yeah, residential vacancies decreasing down another 7% there. I imagine, I mean, it talks around the point, and we'll touch on retail in a moment, a sort of semblance of return to normal. We're seeing students back on campus for the first time since, 2019 was the last proper year of academic teaching and the like. Is it becoming a lot more competitive? Are you finding it, improving, but also competitors coming to market?
It is, look, this, the return of students is an enormous thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
Students only came back in the end of February, so it's now March and April, and it was during these months we reduced our rental, our vacancies substantially from that date. So at the end of April, we were down to single digits. We were at 9%. It's been a long, long, long time since we've seen vacancies at 9%.
Yeah.
That's a bit beyond 28th of February.
Yeah, I take your point on that, because of course they're coming a little bit later. CBDs, you've got some retail in the CBDs. Are we starting to see sort of normal activity happening there, sort of foot traffic, people going back into the cities and therefore, to a degree, shopping in some of your retail?
Absolutely right. I mean, I've seen some articles whereby the studies have been done, and the number of people moving back into cities is enormous in the last 2 years. The CBDs still have relevance. That's the point, yeah.
I think that's the key point. They have relevance. If I take a sort of a broad overview of your results, which came out, and this was 6 months to end February, a perhaps slightly less tough time than the previous corresponding period, but certainly I want to say there's certain strong signs of normalcy returning. Not that we're there yet, and it might still be a year or two away, but things are well on the back to normal.
Yeah, I would agree with that summary, Sam. Spot on.
We'll leave that there. It's Jeffrey Rapnick. He is MD Octodec, talking results to 6 months ending February.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Jane and I with Simtabeli Bapela, investment analyst at FNB Wealth and Investments. Simtabeli, appreciate the early morning time. Talking rising fuel prices, and our petrol price did drop 12 cents last week, but of course the government is still giving us a 1.50 rand sort of discount for the rest of this month. June looks like we're going to have a fairly steep increase in it. This obviously, higher fuel price makes for higher inflation, which pushes up interest rates, and this has impacts on investing, negative for bonds, but also it can be have a negative impact on equities generally because of how we do valuation techniques. I'm thinking particularly discounted cash flows and the like, where you're using that interest rate as one of your input numbers.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And as you said, that at least April and May, there was some intervention from the government to kind of support a higher fuel prices, but June, the market is expecting quite a massive increase just because we're not going to have kind of that safety net. So we are seeing that, fuel prices are going to have quite an impact on investments. And as you've mentioned, definitely on fixed income assets, but also on equities as well.
Consumer, consumer stocks obviously being hit here. I mean, that makes perfect sense. Inflation takes money out of the pocket of consumers, particularly when that inflation is in the transport space as well. But you make the point that actually banks can do fairly well in a higher interest rate environment.
Yeah, so generally high interest rates are positive for banks. You know, that's the nature of the market. Where there's losers, there are winners. And banks tend to do well in, you know, high interest rate cycles, kind of hiking parts. But there is caution there as well, because the rate of increase doesn't necessarily offset or put down a pressure on consumers, their ability, you know, to borrow and save, which in turn has, you know, a negative effect, you know, and can offset that benefit that higher interest rates have to banks. Yeah. But generally, banks can tend to be quite well.
I take your point in that. Just good old-fashioned affordability for loans in particular could take some of the shine off that. Obviously, locally, there's companies such as Sasol. They well linked to oil price. Carp Agri, who do the retail results site yesterday, they've got the fuel retail business. And even we've got global and local oil ETNs. But you've also picked up on two offshore companies you particularly like. The one providing technology services within the industry, so benefiting from that, and I'm going to be a little bit sly here and leave the pronunciation of the company to you, because it looks German and it looks like a tongue twister.
Yeah, so I settled on Schlumberger. No one has corrected me as yet, so I'm just going with it. So yeah, we quite like that company. As you mentioned, it does provide tech and services to the energy industry for reservoir categorizations, for drilling, for production, and for processing. And so it's not an energy company, but it has exposure to energy companies. So it does give you quite a sort of an indirect exposure to the energy space, while at the same time, you know, consumers might be wanting to pay directly via the likes of, as you mentioned, Apple, Bookup, Aldi, which are in the local space. So we do like the companies. Enphase Energy is also a nice company looking offshore. They're also a tech company that develops and sells software for energy solutions. So it's also a similar play there, but they do provide this exposure from an international perspective for, you know, local investors.
And interesting, both of them. And Schlumberger sounds perfectly fine to me. I'm not going to correct you on that. Enphase Energy, both sort of tech orientated and supplying into the industry rather than the sort of traditional, you know, a Shell or a BP. And certainly Shell and BP are having knockout numbers. But these guys perhaps got almost in a sense a little bit more leverage, because as Shell and BP are having those knockout numbers, they turn into their suppliers, such as these two, and ramping up orders.
Correct. And you know, industry fundamentals have been quite favorable. There's been steady demand, or rather a steady demand recovery. There is a tight supply market, and also supportive oil prices currently that are benefiting the companies that are kind of, as you mentioned, they are the suppliers or the producers to the energy players in the market. So the outlook for, you know, the likes of Schlumberger and Enphase, these tech companies that, you know, provide services to energy players, the outlook is quite positive for them. The margins look good, looking forward, and also from a valuation perspective, they do seem to be offering value to investors.
We'll leave it at that. Simtabeli Bapala, investment analyst, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. Yesterday we were chatting with Bruce Williamson from Integral Asset Management, talking around Thungela Resources. It's some 10x up since listing. It's just paid an 18 Rand dividend, went ex-div last week. But Bruce is saying this could pay a 100 Rand dividend for current financial year, which puts it on a forward dividend yield of 40%. It's crazy, but I mean, that's just what's happening with the price of coal. The question we asked you holding, selling, or buying here. About 10% each of you said you'd already taken profits. I fell into that group. Or perhaps were just avoiding altogether. While just over a third each were still holding, of which congrats to that group. And then a bunch of you just absolutely totally missed it. I remember when it listed. I mean, there's certainly, and I know talking with Carmen from ABSA, there are ESG issues around it. Make no mistake around that. And some folks just don't like it because of that. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking FANG stocks with Henry Biddlecombe.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.